10th grader Alexa Bledjek got emotional talking about what it was like to go to school without a mask yesterday.
I saw life everywhere. Like my teachers, like I can finally see all the emotion.
We have these two really weak politicians who won't stand up for kids and won't stand up to teachers' unions, and I think that's why people are so scared today, because they see their leadership not standing up for them, not saying it's okay for kids to unmask finally.
This is the sound of an ad run by the group Unmask New York School Children Now. The group has no official information, but it has a Facebook page that was created on May 21st and has swelled in a month to over 13,000 members. They've gotten the attention of several conservative members of the state legislature, including Assemblyman Chris Tague, who introduced legislation in June to prevent state agencies from mandating mask requirements for children.
Governor Cuomo, New York State Legislative Majority members, and Dr. Zucker, unmask our kids now!
Julie is a mom with kids in Shenandoah and Waterford school districts who's gotten very active in the fight against the school's COVID restrictions.
I started really paying attention in January when my son had a birthday, and he came home and told me that nobody sang happy birthday. And I had reached out because I thought, well, maybe they just forgot, and I was told that they're not allowed to sing. And, you know, I had reached out to the principal and questioned it because it didn't make sense to me. These kids are already sitting 6 feet apart. They're already wearing a mask, but they can yell out an answer to a question or read out loud, but they couldn't sing. Basically, every time you show any concern or questions or you push back, you're just basically treated like, well, you know what? Be grateful that we're still open. And you know what? We are grateful as parents, but at what cost? Because this is causing unnecessary emotional trauma, and it's squashing personality traits. You know, with all the changes that have gone on in the last year and a half, singing songs like happy birthday is a big deal to a small child. And then the school does not allow them to talk while they're eating lunch. Yes, you heard that correct. They are not allowed to eat and talk at the same time while they are having lunch. Talk about oppression. I mean, these kids, it's sickening. It's sickening.
Claire Prophet, supervising public health nurse for Schenectady County, says she's puzzled by the vehemence of resistance so late in the school year when she believes the masks in schools have worked so well.
So I think masks worked fantastically well in schools. I think the science is really pointing towards most COVID being spread through the air by people who are super spreaders, which means that not everybody is spreading COVID to the same number of people. The one person might have a very high viral load and spread it to a bunch of people. And we know that masks are both protective for the wearer and protective for the people around the wearer. I think we saw an amazingly low number of COVID cases in schools. I was somewhat pessimistic about it at the beginning of the year, and I have just been so impressed and amazed by how well the schools have done with in-person learning. I think a big part of it is that school children have adhered to mask wearing in a way that almost nobody else has. Our role is sort of the protection of the many, of the group, of the population, and we have to always be thinking about where does that butt heads with individual autonomy and, you know, your individual rights. I think that we have to think about it really especially carefully when it's children, and I think that in this year, we've really asked young people to sacrifice a lot for older people. And that's a heavy thing to put on them to begin with. It's been a heavy year for the youngest in our society who really had the least risk from COVID all along. And so it is a great question. How much is this an appropriate thing to ask them to do? And when does it just become an imposition for not very much benefit? And I think that we are in the time of that shifting. And that's why what I think for me is really frustrating about people deciding that it has to happen right at this moment is that I think that we're in a natural slide to that happening anyway, because I think everybody at every level wants to make decisions that don't make our children sick or even uncomfortable. Like, we really don't, right? Like, the CDC isn't full of people who wants to make school children feel like extra hot and uncomfortable because they have to wear a mask all day, right? But it does involve a whole lot of people making a really big decision that affects people everywhere from New York, where our vaccination rates are 70%, to parts of the Deep South where vaccination rates are still hovering under 50%. And so we're not being given the leeway to make the decision for ourselves here in New York. We're being told to follow a decision that applies to the whole country. And so I think it is asking for just a little bit more sacrifice. And whether that's a sacrifice too far, you know, at this moment, I guess what we're really hearing from a lot of parents is that they feel it is. I would really argue that this is sort of a, you know, wait it out for a little bit longer situation and you know, make reasonable accommodations. And the guidance really allows for reasonable accommodations, right? It allows for mask breaks. It allows for people to take their masks off while they eat. It allows for them to take them off outside. But if it were up to me, if I were able to ask people what to do, I would say I appreciate the discomfort of this, but just hang on for a little bit longer because things are about to look much, much more normal. I mean, like by fall, my hope is that in New York, life will look just way more normal than it has for a long time.
I spoke with some people at the press conference announcing the bill who made it pretty clear that for some, at least, the objections went far beyond masks.
Well, this is the thing. They're weakening their lungs by wearing the mask, and so then they're more susceptible to illness. It's a lose-lose situation. And the mask is like putting a chain-link fence up to keep out mosquitoes as far as viral or bacterial, anything is concerned anyways, even if you do believe that that's the way disease is transmitted. You got to step back and look at the bigger picture, which is through the World Economic Forum. This is about money. This is about power. This is about Gates. This is about technocracy. It's a big deal. It's a big picture, and it's a paradigm shift that most people don't have the bandwidth to take on. But we got to take it on because it's a comment. We're going to be enslaved digitally if we allow this vaccine passport crap to happen and all of that. It's coming. And people have to step back and get the bigger picture, or we're really in some deep, deep fascist craziness. CDC.
Curiously, many of the people who want restrictions lifted immediately are also against encouraging vaccinations in kids. Julie told me that her skepticism about vaccinations has only grown during COVID.
You know, I have a lot of concern with that for children. Adults, you know, that's one thing. But children, I'm not on board with that at this moment, and there's just not enough studies done to convince me. And again, I believe that that should be a parent's choice, but it should not be mandated. It should not be mandated for kids to go to school. And, you know, it's my body, my choice. My kid's body, my choice. You know, nobody should be able to tell you what to do, you know, with your child. It's like being told, well, you can't eat chicken or something. Well, who the hell are you to tell me what my kid can eat? It's the same kind of thing. You can't tell me what I should put in my kid's body. I know what's best.
Despite the objections of groups like Unmask New York Children Now, Ms. Prophet feels optimistic about the direction New York is going toward overcoming COVID.
The thing that sort of works in public health's favor is that people who are not convincible about the vaccine are probably statistically more likely to have had COVID and recovered because they probably also didn't want to wear masks or follow some of the rules. So when you're looking at like what it takes to get to herd immunity, you have like people who were vaccinated, you have people with known cases of COVID who, you know, probably have quite decent protection, maybe not 100% protection against some of the variants, but still quite decent protection. And then you probably have a much higher number of people who had COVID and were never tested because, you know, there are lots of people who were like, eh, you know, I felt sick. I probably had it, or, you know, I was exposed and I got a cold or whatever. Right. And so it means that we're really doing well in a year of like not being able to have a lot of optimism about stuff. I feel really optimistic about the way we're going. It's going to be okay. If there are people whose emotional response and like gut feelings about this are not going to allow them to get on board with getting vaccinated or, you know, following social distancing and mask wearing, if they're not vaccinated, I think ultimately that's at this point, it's not going to make too much of a difference.